Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Mem Tes. We begin 12 lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Boy Rav Papa. Once again, Rav Papa presents a Shaila regarding Chafina. And the question will be as follows. Chafan Chaveri. Suppose the Kohen Gadol's helper did the actual Chafina. He scooped the Keteris out of the Machta. V'nosan l'soich Chafnaf. After which, he poured that Keteris into the cupped hands of the Kohen Gadol. So now the Kohen Gadol's hands are full. Full with Keteris. But he didn't actually do the Masa Chafina. The scooping act. It was done by somebody else. Mau, what is the halacha? Mulei chafnav ba'inan. Is it just mulei chafnav that we need? A handful. Va'ika, here we have it. His hands are full with teres. Oiduma v'lokach. Ve'hevi ba'inan. Or perhaps, the first word in that pasuk, which is v'lokach, is also referring to the teres. The Kohen Gadol, who will bring Meloi Chafnav Keteris into the Kodesh HaKadosh, Meloi Chafnav Vehevi, he has to begin the process with Vilokach, with actually personally scooping out that Keteris. Vilokach, in this case, we don't have it. It was done by somebody else. Teku, we leave it unresolved. So what are the two sides of the coin here? Rashi explains, the Shaila is regarding the word Vilokach, with which the Pasuk begins. V'lokach melei hamachto, kach lei eish, etc. U'meloi chofnov k'teres samim dako, v'hevim beis l'pareches. The shail is whether v'lokach is referring to also referring to the k'teres, or is it simply referring to the machto of kach lei eish, with which the pasuk begins. So that's the shail. Is v'lokach referring to k'teres as well, in which case the Kohen Gadol must do the Masa Lekicha. He has to scoop it up out of the Machta. Or perhaps there's no need for Velokach here. As long as the Keteris is Meloi Chafnav, filling his hands, be it as a result of his own Chafina or as a result of somebody else's Chafina, that's okay. Take it, we leave it as a Shaila. Tosis presents it differently. He has a Kasha. He says, Tamali, what's going on here? Haven't we already discussed this Shaila earlier? Whether or not V'lokach applies to Chafina, we had it back on the Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara asked regarding the material trapped in the seam, Bein HaBenayim, between his hands. And the question was whether we need V'lokach, in which case V'lokach is a direct masa, a purposeful act, which doesn't apply to the stuff stuck in the seam. It only refers to the material within his hands, in which case the Bein HaBenayim is unsuitable for Keteris. That's one side. We need V'lokach, in which case we don't have it here. Or, V'lokach is not a necessary component. All you need is V'hevi, in which case even the material within the seam is okay because it also comes along. It's part of the V'hevi. So that was the Shaila back on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. And the essence of the Shaila was whether or not V'lokach is applicable. So why the repetition? Says Tosis, no. Our Gemara is working with the assumption that V'lokach is a necessary component. You need a Ma'asa L'kicha. You need a direct, a purposeful, an intentional Ma'asa L'kicha. But here, we have it. Although it wasn't done by the Kohen Gadol, somebody did it. Tosfos calls it a Mikoyach Gavra. There was a Master Gavra. Somebody scooped up that Keteris. Somebody fulfilled the V'lokach requirement. The question is whether it has to be the same person doing the V'lokach as the V'hevi, meaning the Kohen Gadol. It's a continuous process from the V'lokach all the way to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in which case he has to do the Chafina himself. Or perhaps, as long as somebody fulfilled V'lokach, that's enough. It doesn't have to be the same person doing both V'lokach and V'hevi. So according to Tosfos, that's the Shaila of the Gemara. We leave it as Teiku. Continues the Gemara with another shayla regarding chafina. Okay, let's say we need the kohen gadol doing the chafina. Boy, Rabbi Shoma Levi, chafan omeis. Suppose kohen gadol did chafina, and he passed away on Yom Kippur, and now the skan came in to fill his spot. Maushi koneis acher b'chafinosim. Can the backup kohen gadol substitute come in and just take over where he left off? Use the same k'turis which had been scooped out by the first kohen gadol. So here, the kohen gadol did the chafina, and the shaila is whether we consider it as one continuous avoda, in which case second kohen gadol doesn't have to start from the beginning. So that was presented by Shimon Levi. Can the second kohen gadol just come in right there, or does he have to begin the process anew with a new chafin? Omer b'chanina. So b'chanina turns to his talmid and he says, "Take a look, boy ure'e. Look, I had this shaila myself, and look who's asking it. She'elas rishonim. This is a question posed by the earlier." By the Gdolim in the earlier generations, who were higher than us. And look, with effort, we, even us, in a later generation, can be zeiche to achieve greatness like those in the earlier generations. Boy re'e, take a look at my shaila. I also had the same shaila regarding the second kohen gadol just coming in and taking over. That shaila corresponded to the she'elas harishonim, who was a Shimon Levi, who lived in an earlier generation. Let's take a look at Rashi, about 4 or 5 lines up. Amrim chanin l'tamid. Boy, Ray, come take a look. Sha'adoyra achron, even the doyra achron is zoycha l'schakim, that's zoycha to achieve v'chachma. Kidoris harishonim. With enough effort, we can be zoycha to be mechaven to their shaylas. Sha'afan iya yisi shayla shayla zu. I myself also had this very shayla. And it turns out, va'achshav sha'al Rabbi Shimon Levi. Shimon Rishon, it turns out that this very question is being posed by Shimon Levi, who is from the Rishonim, the early generations. Continues the Gemara. Really? Do you mean to say that Rabbi Shimon Levi was older than Rabbi Chanina? Lememra, Rabbi Shimon Levi koshish? He was actually older than Rabbi Chanina. Va'omar Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi himself said, Li hiti Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina presented me with a heter. Apparently he regarded Chanina as somebody of a higher authority, higher stature. Apparently he was older than Rabbi Shimon Levi. Li hiti Rabbi Chanina. Li shtois shachlaim b'shabbos. To drink some sort of shachlaim juice. Actually says kershon, some say it's cress. Some sort of remedial drink. He allowed me to drink it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara one second. Before we get involved in the historical sequence here, let's just focus on this halacha. He allowed him to drink this drink. Why not? Lishta is pshita, of course. It's something that even healthy people would drink. You see, all the chachamim forbade doing refuah on Shabbos, unless it's pekuach nefesh, for concern that a person might come to malacha. To shchika samimonim, to grinding, come to grind the ingredients for the medicines. So that's isn't the rabbanim, but that only applies when the item is something which is clearly a medicine. But if it's something which is eaten or drunk by healthy people as well, in which case it's not an apparent remedy, it's okay. Says the one, what could be wrong with shachlaim juice? Pshit, of course, it's mutar disnan, kala eichlin, all types of foods which are eaten by healthy people. Eichel adam l'refuah. One may eat those foods even if it's for the purpose of refuah, because we view it as ordinary food. We don't view it as a medicine. Likewise, v'chala mashkin, shoyse adam l'refuah. All types of mashkin can be drunk l'refuah even though his purpose is for refuah, but it's something which is used by ordinary people. Likewise, the shachlaim juice falls into that category. What's the chiddush here? Elo lishchik v'lishteis shachlaim b'shabbos. He allowed him to grind up and then drink the shachlaim on Shabbos. grinding is a malacha. Malacha of toichen. And he allowed it. Hey, chidami, what are we speaking about? Idikas akanta. If his life was in danger, Mishra Shari, of course it's mutter. You don't have to ask a rav. Vidalakas akanta. If his life wasn't in danger, Meser Aser. That's Aser. Why would he allow it? Loyal Dikas akanta. Certainly there was a sakana here. The question wasn't whether Pikuach Nefesh overrides Issa D'Rabbanan of Refuah on Shabbos. That's Pashut. His question was something else. He was asking him medical advice. Is this type of concoction effective for my ailment? V'chakim e'boile. He was simply seeking medical advice. Mi masya. Does this thing heal? The Nechel Alayu Shabbat, in which case it would justify Chilul Shabbos. Oilei Masya, perhaps it doesn't have the healing capacity. V'loi Nechel Alayu Shabbat, in which case there's no reason to be Mechal Shabbos to produce it. So he wasn't asking him Halacha Shail. It was Pasha to him that in his situation, which was Sakonas Nefashis, anything is more to the question was simply whether this thing has any purpose, whether it has any healing capacity. Why was he asking Rabbi Chanina? Because he was proficient in refuah. He had experience with medicine, as we find elsewhere. It never happened that one would ask me advice regarding a refuah, al makas predilavana, a refuah to be used as an antidote to heal a wound experienced through a maka of a prey de lavana, inflicted by a white mule, vicious mules. Nobody ever asked me about a refuah for such a thing, v'chaya, and indeed this person should survive. These things are really deadly. It's pretty clear that Rav Chanina was an authority when it came to medicine. It says the Gemara, 1 second, because chazina d'chay. What do you mean nobody survived? We see clearly that many people survive even after being struck by a white mule. Ema rather say like this, v'chayos. The person survived, but the wound would never heal. V'kachazinon the mitzi, we find that they do heal. It says, more depends what type of mule. B'sumkan inu. We're speaking about mules which are red and have white hooves. B'sumkan inu, red mules, v'chivron reshkarayu kamrinan. With their tips of their legs, their hooves being white. Kamrin, that's what we're speaking about. These things are really deadly. And we don't have good experience with these types of mules. Okay. In any case, let's get back to the topic at hand. So we do find that Rabbi Shimon Levi refers to Rabbi Chanina as Rabbi Chanina. If he was a colleague, a contemporary, he would have just said, Lihit Chanina. If Shmuel Levi was senior to Rabbi Chanina, he would not have referred to Rabbi Chanina as Rabbi Chanina. Mikol Mokem Shma Mino. In any case, we hear from here that Rabbi Chanina Kashish. The fact that Shmuel Levi refers to him as Rabbi Chanina is indicative of Rabbi Chanina seniority. So, what did Rabbi Chanina mean when he said, "Come take a look. This is really impressive. I was zoicha to be machaven to the Sheilas Rishonim, the earlier days, Rabbi Shimon Levi." Elohi Ka'amar, says the Gemara, just the opposite. He meant to say like this, Sheilos son, look, their Sheila, meaning the questions posed by the later days, i.e. Rabbi Shimon Levi, is Kishailah Shel Rishonim corresponds to the same Sheila presented by the earlier days, referring to himself. Says the Gemara. Okay, let's go back to our Shaila. So you mean that Rav Chanina also had this Shaila? What was the Shaila? The first Kohen Gadol did Chafina and then passed away. Can the second Kohen Gadol just take over at that point? Use the Keteris, which was in the Chafina of the first Kohen Gadol? Or does he have to start anew? You mean to say Rav Chanina himself also had that Shaila? Umi Omar Rav Chanina Hachi? V'amar b'chanina, but didn't Rabbi Chanina himself tell us? B'par, v'loy b'dami shal par. Pasuk says, b'zoyis yovei aron ala kodesh, b'par ben bakar. Aron ha-kohen Likewise, a Kohen Gadol throughout the Doros needs his own personal kapara, his own personal par, which he would fund, which he would shecht. Chanina tells us, he has to actually bring a par, a live animal, as opposed to just taking over midway. Suppose the first Kohen Gadol brought a par, did a shechita, and all we have now is the dam for Zrika, and he passed away at that point. The second Kohen Gadol cannot take over at that point. He can't be Yotzi just with dam. Pasuk says he needs a par, a personal carbon. He needs to bring a live animal to the Beis HaMikdash to be Yotzi the Shechiv. The par, v'lei b'damashal par, can't begin mid-process. Now, what was the Seder of the Avodah? First came the Shechitas HaPar, as we had back in the Mishnah. And then, enough from Gimon, then we had the Chafin of Keteris, as was described in the beginning of this parak. So first came Shechitas HaPar, and then Chafinas Keteris. Now once the Kohen Gadol did Chafina, it's pretty clear that he already did the Shechitas HaPar. In which case, all we have is a dam. So how could Ruchanin even present it as a shaila? We want to know whether the second Kohen Gadol could just fill in, pick it up at this point, take over the Chafina. Think about it. The power is already nishchat. So in any case, he can't pick it up from here. He has to begin anew. He has to start from the par. It has to be his personal par. Rechinin said, the par v'lo yabidam shal par. V'omer Rechinin, and Rechinin tells us as well, there's a seder to the avoides. K'tor shechafna, k'odim shechitas apar. If he did the chafinas k'tor before shechitas apar, lo yosu v'leklum, it's worthless. Now, if we speak about a Kohen Gadol having done Chafina and then passing away, apparently, the par had already done, had already been done. It's post Shechita Sapar. He did Shechita Sapar, then Chafina, and then he passed away. Of course, the second Kohen Gadol can't just pick it up from right here. Forget about the Chafina issue. He doesn't have a live par, which he can call his. So, according to Reb Chanina, the whole Shaila is not applicable. So why was he asking it as a shaila? Again, you have to first do par, b'shechet his par, and then chafin. So once he was chafin, the par is already nishchat and unsuitable for further use, meaning the second Kohen Gadol can't take that over. So if the first Kohen dies, it's pretty clear that the second Kohen has to start fresh, bring his par, and then chafin. Says the Gemara Ka'amar, Rav Chanina meant as follows. True, according to my shita, that bepar means literally par. Kohen Gadol needs his own personal par. He can't just take over in the middle of the avoda, use the dam of the previous kohen. According to me, the shaila really doesn't apply. Hachi Ka'amar, midikam eboile ha. However, since we see that Rishon Levi did pose it as a shaila, he wanted to know, in a case where the Kohen did Chafina and he was mazed, can the second Kohen just pick it up right there? It's pretty clear that he does not subscribe to this halacha of par v'loy b'damay, mechlal the kusav. Apparently he holds differently than I do. He holds b'par, afilu b'damay shel par. The Torah allows the second Kohen Gadol just come in right in the middle of the process. Take the dam left over by the previous Kohen Gadol and use it for his own sake. Because the true essence of the par isn't the live animal. It's the kapara of the par. The dam ha-nefesh, which contains the nefesh, which is designated for kapara. That's considered par. Apparently Rabbi Shimon Levi holds as such. In which case, his shaila is valid. What if Kohen Gadol won? Did the shechita, leftover dam, did chafina, and was mace. Can the second Kohen Gadol, his replacement, just come in there and take over? Can he just take over the chafina done by the first Kohen Gadol, and the dam left over by the first Kohen Gadol? So that was the Shiloh presented by Shmuel Levi. Since he's presenting the Shiloh, it's pretty clear that he holds Domishal Par is sufficient. Ulamaidis, really? Oh. So according to his Shita, Shelosai Kishelos Rishonim. That Shiloh corresponds to the Shiloh presented by the previous Torahs. Meaning, although I have no Shiloh here. Because in any case, it doesn't work. We no longer have a live par. But those who argue with me, the Chilkim, who hold that par means even Dama par, also had that same Shiloh. So can Godel did Shchita and then Chafina, and then was Mace, can a second Godel take over right there? So Rishon Levi, who was in a later Dur, was Zeicha to achieve the Chachma, to be Machavan, to the same Shiloh presented by the Rishonim, meaning those Shitas who argue with me, who hold that even Dama Par is okay, and they also had the same Shiloh regarding the Kashrus of the Torahs. Can the second Goyen Gadol just simply take over and continue the process after the Chafina was already done by the first Kohen? Okay, so that explains the Gemara. By the Shiloh, the first Kohen did Chafina and Mace. Can the second Goyen Gadol take it up right there? My Havei Allah, so what's the Maskona? Can he? Or can he not? Does he have to redo the Chafina? Does it have to be his personal chafin? Amar Rav Papa says Rav Papa like this. You know what it depends on? A different shayla. We discussed this back on Daf Mem Zayin. Torah says Mloy Chafnov. Mloy Chafnov Vehevi. So we know that he does a chafina outside and then pours it into the kaf, just for practical reasons, and brings it to the Kodesh HaKadosh. Does he do another chafina in there? Or was he already yoytze with the first chafin? Meaning, does he have to pour the Torahs back into his hands? Perhaps that's the ideal way of doing it. Moy chafnav vehevi. It's a personal offering. He has to do it manually without a kli. So although in the interim, from the outside to the inside, he has to have it in a kli. There's no other way to transport the Torahs and the machta. But once he gets inside and he lays the machta on the floor, perhaps you're meant to reinsert the Torahs into the Kohen Gadol's hands and offer it in that manner. That's a shayla. Do we do chayfin once and v'chayzer v'chayfin again inside, or one chafin is sufficient? Amar Papa, this shayla that we just presented, whether or not the second Kohen Gadol could just simply take over after the first Kohen Gadol did his chafina, you know what it depends on? It depends on the other shayla. Whether the second Kohen Gadol will do another chafina when he gets inside. If there's one chafina outside, then again inside, then of course it works. And the second Kohen Gadol could just take over, use the Torahs, which was scooped by the first Kohen, enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why? Because in any case, he's going to repeat the chafina process. So be yetzi chafina in that manner. However, however, if we hold that you don't do it twice, you do one chafina outside and that's it, then you have a good shayla. Then you have a question on your hands. Can the second Kohen Gadol be yaitse to the chafina done by the first Kohen Gadol? Let's see Rashi inside, five lines from the bottom. My havelo. So what's the maskan? Could the second Kohen Gadol just fill in? Pick up where the first coin left off. Chafan omeis. Maoshi konis acher bechafinose. Rav Papa responds, it depends on the other shayla. So one shayla depends on the other. If chayfen, chayze vechayfen, im ifshe telan baya. If you have clarity regarding that shayla, di boy lan gam bechafinas pnim. The shayla we had regarding chafinas pnim. Im tzorach lachser v'laf, lachven eloi. Whether or not he redoes the chafina inside. And you'll propose and say the tzoruch lachser v'lachfoin that he does have to repeat it again. In that case, you have clarity. You have clarity regarding this shiloh. If the kohen did chafina and was mace, surely the second kohen could just pick it up right there. Why? Chafir nichnas b'chafina, so dam mekayim chafina. Because in any case, he's going to fulfill that requirement. He's going to do his own chafina inside. But if it's only going to be one chafina, then we're not sure. Can the second kohen gadol just be yotze through chafina of the first kohen gadol? Asks Tosfos Teima. Well, what do you mean? If there's a chiv to do a double chafina, then how could the second kohen gadol be yotze with his chafina, which is only number two? You need two chafinas, which was done by two different people. How does that work? That's why Tosfos learns a different pshat in the sugya, different than Rashi. See, Rashi learns as long as the kohen gadol does some sort of chafina, whether the first or the second, he's yotze. So in this case, where you actually need two, but the point is, as long as in total you have two, although it was done by different people, you're yotze. Tosfos learns differently. He says pshat like this. What does chayfen, chayzer, v'chayfen mean? It means to say that ben hatera, there's no limit. You can scoop and scoop as many times as you want. And therefore, chachamu masakin. Scoop it once outside, and then again, when you arrive at your destination, just to make sure there was nothing missing. Make sure you have it all there. If so, says Tosfos, once we see that you can do it as many times as you want. What the Gemara meant was as follows. The second kohen gadol, who's replacing the first, we'll go ahead and do another chafina outside. Because there's no limits, no maximum how many times you can do chafina. He'll do another chafina outside and then pour it into the kaf. And then bring it in. So he goes mekayim chafina outside. And then he poured it into the kaf. And then goes back inside. And of course he'll do it again, but the Rabban will do another chafina. That's what the Gemara meant. If you hold Chayfen, chayzer v'chayfen, that we have an allowance to do it as many times as we want. That's exactly what we're going to do here as well. We'll have the second kohen gadol do another chafina before delivering it to the kodesh hakodashim. In which case, chumim makayim v'lokach melechafna without any concern. Tosfos Yeshanim seems to be working along Rashi's pshat. He asks Tosfos Kasha a bit differently, even sharper. He says, "What do you mean?" You say he's going to do it again inside, in which case he's b'kayim chafina. He says, think about it. What's the ikur chafina? It's the first one. That's the one that machshava can affect. We had that yesterday. It's considered an avoida. That's the primary chafina. He says, the Gemara tells us you can't make a midah, right? You can't make a pre-measured kli, which corresponds to the amount in his cupped hands. He has to actually scoop it out. That's the first chafina. That's happening the first time around. And this kohen gadol, just walking in the middle of the process, will not be fulfilling that requirement. How can the Gemara propose that his yotze was simply doing the second chafina, which is just merely a confirmation of the first one? So Hashem answers, he says, Enechanami, he says, since the first chafina was done by kohen gadol, and the second kohen gadol will do another one, he says it's a svaru shaloi hikpid akosef ba'oise kohen atzmai. Rav Papa holds it's a svaru to say that since the first chafina and the second were both done by kohen gadol, they sort of joined forces together, and you're yaitze with that. Torah wasn't makpid that the same kohen gadol should do both chafinas. Okay, either way, Rav Papa tells us, regarding our shayla, kohen gadol did chafina v'meis, can the second kohen gadol just come in right there? Well, it depends on the other shayla. If the second kohen gadol will do another chafina, then you're okay. But otherwise, you're left with a shayla. And the shayla is, whether the chafina performed by the first kohen can be applied for the second kohen as well. Can you use the more in the first wide line? Amal Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yishua Rav Papa. He challenges Rav Papa. He says, Adrab, just the opposite. You're telling me when the second kohen is doing another chafina, then certainly okay? If anything, it's in the reverse. I chayfen v'chayzer v'chayfen. If there's a double chafina taking place, la yikonis achar b'chafinase. Then absolutely not. The second Kohen Gadol shouldn't just take over, shouldn't transport the same keteris, which was scooped by the first Kohen Gadol, because it's not going to be the same amount. It's impossible. Shelo yechsar, shelo yoser. That the amount found inside the second Kohen Gadol's hands should be the same exact, should correspond exactly to the amount that was in the first Kohen Gadol's hands. He can't just take over. We're speaking about a different amount. V'ein choyzer, choyzer v'choyfen, however, according to the other side, that there's no double chafina, you only have once and that's it, to bailach. Okay, in that case, it's a good shayla. Whether the chafina done by the first Kohen Gadol can count for the second Kohen Gadol as well. But I disagree with you. You said if the second Kohen Gadol is meant to do another chafina, then he's mekayim with that. I hold just the opposite. I say the amounts won't be exact. In which case, if another chafina has to take place, it's certainly no good. The shayla will only apply if there is only one chafina. Then you have a good shayla on your hands. The chafina done by Kohen Gadol 1, mighty Kohen Gadol 2. Now, it's interesting, Kasha and the Gemara, because yesterday we learned what is considered a chafina. Meloi chafnaf means flat on top, only the material with which he fills his hands, flat on top, or is it heaping? Is it overflow? The Gemara's maskana was, it's neither this nor that. We have a compromise. Tefufais. A slight curvature. A little generous. That's maloi chafnav. So what's the kasha here? Say the amounts aren't exact. But in any case, it's not strictly a handful. It's a bit over the top. It's a bit topped off on the top. So what do you mean the efshir? It's impossible the amounts would correspond. You don't have to have correspond perfectly. Suppose the second kohen has small hands. So we'll have a slightly raised curvature more than the first kohen got. That's okay. You'll have tefufos. So it seems that his kasha was pertaining to material within the hands. As far as the amount of tears within his hands, I'm not speaking about the part that's rising above the curvature. We're speaking about the chafina within the hands itself. That won't work. That won't be exact. So although nothing will spill out, we'll have just a larger heap, but it's not the same malach of naim. You see, there's the amount within the hands, and then there's the topping off part. It's two different things. And he holds that the maloich afnayim has to remain the same and consistent. Therefore, he says, if you're going to have to redo the chafina, it certainly doesn't work. You can't find two kohanim who have the same exact hand size. Apparently, Rav Papa disagreed. He held that at the end of the day, you don't need an exact handful. It's going to be tfufis in any case. You're going to have some topping off on top. Who cares if the hands aren't exactly the same size? He'll let it have a bit over. And therefore he says, as long as the second kohen repeats a chafina, he's going to be mechaim chafina by doing that, and there's no shayla that it works. So in short, kohen gadol did chafina, and he passed away. The substitute comes in. Does he have to redo chafina, or can he just simply take over? We have two shittas. Rav Papa says, well, if the second kohen does another chafina, then it's certainly fine. But otherwise, we have a shayla. We have a shayla whether he can just take over the process in the middle, or he has to do his own chafina. Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, takes the opposite approach. He says, if he's going to have to redo chafina, it's certainly not good, because the two amounts won't correspond. But if it's only one chafina per day, in that case, then you have a good shayla. And of course, the Gemara tells us, this whole discussion only applies if you hold that the second Kohen Gadol could just take over the Dama Par. Because otherwise, in any case, you have to start from the beginning of the process. Begin with a new Par and follow with new Chafim. Okay, so we address this new Shaila of Chayzer Chayfin, of Chayfin, Chayzer V'Chayfin. So now the Gemara will elaborate on the Shaila. The Boilu, because the Bnei Yeshiva actually had the Shaila. Chayfin, Chayzer V'Chayfin. Does he do one chafina and then again? Or is it just one? Atashma, atav arayif ma'al Mishnah. Kachos yamidosa. Mishnah says, what is considered b'loi chafna? Well, it depends on your hand size. And the Mishnah adds three words. Kach, v'kachos yamidosa. What does the Mishnah mean with those three words? My love, perhaps. Kishem shemidosa machutz. Kach, mimidosa mifnim. The Mishnah is coming to add another chafina. Just as this is the way you do it outside, you measure on the outside, meaning outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, kach midasim b'fnim. Likewise, you do another measuring act inside, another chafina. Lo, he says it more, not necessarily. Perhaps the Mishnah means differently. Dilma shim rotza lasis midasim. Kach midasim means you can prearrange a pre-measured cup and use it for chafina. Perhaps you don't need a masa chafina. As long as you have the amount which fills his hand. But you can actually scoop it out using a cup. Inami, or another pshat would be, shalayachsav shalayayser, needs to be a perfect maloy chafnaf, a handful. You can't have less, you can have more. That's what v'kach hoysim idasa means, but it's not referring to the shaila of whether you do it once or twice. Toshma, now we're going to have a raya from a braisa, which clearly describes him doing chafina again once he arrived in Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ketzad oisim. How is the Kohen Gadol going to do chafina shnia? So he had the machta in his right hand, the kaf in his left hand. He already placed the machta down on the floor. How is he meant to refill his hands to perform a chafina shnia? He's only one man alone, holding a kaf. It's kind of difficult. Says the Braisa, Eicheiz es habozach. He grabs hold of the ladle, berosh et tzvoisav, with his fingertips. Some say he uses his teeth. And he shifts it, pushes it towards him. Umal lebegoylik, and he gets his thumbs involved as well, pushing the ladle back towards him. Ad shemagas lebein atzil yadav, until the handle of the ladle reaches his elbow area, which allows him to maneuver the ladle as well. And once he pushed it all the way back, he's maneuvering it with his fingers, with his thumbs, with his elbows. Now he tips it back over into his hands, into his cupped hands. So now his hands are filled with k'tiris. And he goes ahead and places the k'tiris onto the coals. With tzivra, he piles it up. He makes a heap. So that the smoke is slow in coming. That's why he piles it up high. So that there'll be a delay in producing smoke, so that he doesn't get overcome with smoke inhalation. Some say just the opposite. Mefazra. He'll disperse it. He'll distribute it in a light coat over the coals. K'dei shehei ashana maheres lavei. So that it's quick in producing smoke, which will ensure that he shortens his stay in the Kodesh HaKadosh. It's meant to be as short as possible. This is the most difficult task in the Beis HaMikdash. One man alone, maneuvering this heaping ladle with k'tiris, and tipping it into his hands, making sure nothing gets spilled out. It takes a lot of expertise, a lot of practice. Says, what do you mean? Zui v'sulay, this is the only difficult task? V'yika malika, try malika, that's kind of difficult. V'yika chamitza, chamitza as well is difficult. Elo rather, zui avoida kasha, may avoidus. Kasha is shibim English. We didn't mean this was the only avoida kasha, this is on the list of difficult tasks done in the English. In any case, shmamina, it's pretty clear that chayfin, b'chayza b'chayfin, shmamina. He does one chayfin outside, and once again, when he arrives at his destination. Okay, so conclusion once again. Regarding our original Shiloh, Kohen Gadol did Chafina and Mace. Kohen Gadol took over. Can he just simply take over? Does he have to do Chafina again? So according to the Maskon of the Gemara, that Chafina was done twice, one outside and one inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In that case, we have sort of a conclusion on the first Shiloh, whether the second Kohen Gadol can take over. So according to Rav Papa, yeah, he can take over because in any case, he's going to do another chafina inside. According to Abu Yehuda, maybe sure, just the opposite. Since there's going to be another chafina performed later, we can't ensure that their hands will have the same capacity, in which case, certainly the second Kohen Gadol must do his own chafina. Continues the Gemara, Iboilu. The Bnei Yeshiva presented another shayla. This one regarding the parsha Kohen Gadol. Shachat Ameis. Suppose the Kohen Gadol brought his own par, which he paid for, his own personal par, Asher Loi, did the Shechita and passed away. Maushi Kaneis Acher Bedomi. Can the second Kohen Gadol just come right in and take over where he left off? Use the dam of the first par. Miriam Miran, shall we say, Bepar Vafilu Bedomishal Par? When Torah says, Arna Kohen must come along with a par. It doesn't necessarily mean a live par. Even if all you have is dam, that's the very essence of kapara. That's the primary ingredient here. And that's also considered par. In which case, the second Kohen Gadol could just pick it up right there. Oidilma, bepar v'loy b'damashal par. The pasuk says, b'zoyis yev arna kosh bepar. It means literally, he has to come along with a par, with a live animal. The havoas apar begins the process, which culminates with the kaparas hadam. But it's one continuous process from beginning to the end. Second Kohen Gadol must begin the process anew. So which one is it? Interesting to note that the Gemara makes reference to Misa, right? Shachat Umeis. And Tosfos Shanah points this out. What about if he's out of commission for a different reason? He did Shechita and became Tomei. And the first terrorist says, Tosfos Shanah, yeah. Hu adin nami shachat v'nitma. Same halacha and same question would apply to that case as well. E nami says Tosfos Shanah. No. Perhaps nitma would be different. Why? Listen to this. Because if the Kohen Gadol is still around, the carbon is his. And there's a chiddush. Tosfos Shanah speaks about this back on a few bays, that the par is meant to be funded by the Kohen Gadol. And even if he's out of commission, he becomes tummy throughout the day, the par is meant to be his. He is still the main player here. Even if there's another Kohen Gadol doing avoida, the first Kohen Gadol must fund the par. Interesting chiddush. In any case, says to Yishanim, since the par belongs to the first Kohen Gadol, and he's around, he's alive, he's just tummy. Says to Yishanim, there's no concern. Of course, the second Kohen Gadol will just pick it up right there. It's kishaloi, she'ena el shtucha shel rishon. Because the second Kohen Gadol is serving as a shliach for the first Kohen Gadol. He's working on his behalf. Upar atzmoi kurinibe. In which case, it's okay. Because it belongs to the first Kohen Gadol. And the avoida is attributed to him as well. The second Kohen Gadol, the fill-in, is just doing for him. There's no shail in that case, it works. It's only by mace that we have a shail. The first Kohen did Shechita, and then he passed away. He's not part of the equation here. Second Kohen Gadol is not performing avoida on his behalf. He's not a shliach. He's mace. Shail is, can second Kohen Gadol just pick it up right there? Does he need a par, a living animal? Or domishal par constitutes as well? It's interesting that Tosfos Shanah makes a similar comment earlier. First Kohen Gadol did chafina, then he was mace. Can the second Kohen Gadol pick it up right there? Tosfos Shanah makes a point of mentioning that the same thing would apply to nitma. If he did chafina and then he was nitma, we have the same shal, inami. Another pshat says Tosfos Shanah, no. If he's around, if he's nitma but he's still around, we have no shaila that it works. Why? Since he's Kayim and Roy Lavoida, theoretically, the first Kohen Gadol is still around, he's still Roy Lavoida. Although not today, but he's still part of the equation. He's still counted in. V'yesh kan chafina shel Kohen Gadol. Hear this? Even though he's not part of the Avoida, he's Tamei. But the handful, the chafina that he did, is still attributed to him. Certainly the second Kohen could just take it and use it. It still has a shame chafinas Kohen Gadol. Avok shemes. However, when he died, ein kan chafina mishum odam boilo. Unbelievable. If he was mace, the shame chafina, the chafina status, had become bottle. It's absolutely, it's no more. because the one who did the scoop is no longer around. So that's the Gemara's shaila. Whether we say that the chafina is still intact or no. Since he was mace, the masa chafina is now bottle, in which case the second kain has to do a chafina anew. So Tesis Shanim is Elishitase, both Nakudas are in line with each other. He differentiates between Misa, which is the topic at hand, whereas by Tumah he says the halacha would be different. By Chafina we wouldn't have a Shaila. Of course it works, he's just simply taking over the Chafina, the first kind of Gadol. And likewise, by the Par, he's simply taking over and continuing the process on behalf of the first kind. Okay, getting back to Al Gemara. The Shaila really is whether par means par or damishal par is enough. So the first coin did shchita and he was mace. Can the second coin just take over? He needs a par. Is dam considered par? That's the very essence of the dam, of the kapar, of the par. The point is kapar is adam. Or does he need the animal itself? Do the ma'asavah, bring it to Beis HaMikdash, which begins this process of carbon par shaloi, in which case, in this case, he doesn't have it. We have a machlekes. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Rabbi Par, Veloi B'dam Shalpar. As we mentioned earlier, Rabbi Chanina holds, neither Par itself, Dam is not enough. Rabbi Shlok Hashem, Rabbi Par, Rafil B'dam Shalpar. Rabbi Yami Amar, Rabbi Par, Veloi B'dam Shalpar. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, Rabbi Par, Rafil B'dam Shalpar. Eisvi Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Rabbi Ami, you held that you need the Par itself, he poses Shaila. You, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, holds that it's considered a par even though it's already nishchat. As long as you have the dam, which is the very essence of the par, I'll ask you a kasha from a Mishnah Pesachim. Nimnin u'moishchin yidei mimeno. They can join the Karm Pesach group or pull away from the Karm Pesach group ad sheyishachid, until the shchita. But once the shchita took place, it's no longer considered a seh, a lamb. You can only join and pull away when it's still intact. But after shchita, it's over. Misa, now according to you, why is the shechita considered the deadline? You have until Zrika. It's still called a Iseh. What's the very essence of a carbon? The dam for kapara. You still have the dam here. So why can't you maneuver around even after the shechita? It's still called a Iseh. Shani asim l'chsiv miyos miyseh. Have a rebbe. The pasuk says you can only join and pull away when it's still a Iseh, when he's alive. Miyos, it's havaya. When the seh is still really alive. So it's a special pasuk over there. When it comes to par, we view the dam as though it's still considered the par itself, because that's the very essence of kapar. Masif ma'azutra. Ma'azutra proceeded with another kasha to prove that something which was nishchat no longer retains its original identity. Ein poitim. You cannot perform pidyon petach amar. So he has a firstborn donkey. He'd like to redeem it for an animal, a seh. Torah specifically mentions seh. Therefore, ain't poitin, he can't use like be'egel, a calf, like be'chaya, like be'shchuta, or a shechted seh, like be'trefa, an animal which has an internal critical wound, like be'kalayim, produced by a crossbreed between two behemoths, like be'kvi, a crossbreed between a behemoth and a chaya, ela be'seh. That's the only thing he can use. Apparently, a shchut is not a seh. A seh describes a living animal. A par as well. Is it a living par? Shani asam. The other sem semi pesach. Says the more there is different because we apply xer shav. It says seh over here. Seh by pesach. And just like by pesach, it needs to be alive, as we just concluded from a pasuk. Miyais miseh here as well. So here it's different. Ima lahalon zachar. Tama ben shana. If you compare it to pesach, go all the way. Just as pesach needs to be zachar. Tom without a mum, Uben Shana was in the first year. Afkan, likewise, is se used for Pidyon Petach Amar. She has to conform to all those requirements. Zohar, Tom Ben Shana. And we know it's not so. Tom Ben Laima says, well, we have a ribu for that. Tifta ribu. The Pasuk says, V'kol Petach Amar Tifta Bese. And then once again, V'loi Sifta V'araftai. Why the repetition? I'm to remember all types of animals. You don't have to have a Zohar, Tom Ben Shana. But you need a se. Well, why? E tifta riba. If once you be marba, I feel a kulu navi. What about all those on the list? Just be marba everybody. Kalayim, treif, shchut. Im Kain, because if everything is going to be included, then what's the point of the Gzeres Shavah between Pidyon Petach Chamor and Karban Pesach? Seh, Mayanele. What do you accomplish with the Gzeres Shavah? Apparently, as Rashi in Bukhuris explains, the Gzeres Shavah will tell you, you need the right type, the right species, you need a Seh, a live one. And Tifta will come to be Marba and tell you, well, those secondary specifications are not important, and therefore it doesn't have to be a Zoch or Tam or Ben Sham. It says the Gemara, Eisvei Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Now it was his turn to ask the Rav Ami. So you hold that par means literally the animal? The entire animal? Before Shechita? The Pasuk says, this is a Pasuk regarding par Kohen Mashiach, which was brought by Kohen Gadol if he did an Aver throughout the year. And the Pasuk is speaking after the Shechita of that par, and says, V'hoitzi is kalah par. You take it out of Yerushalayim, you burn it. Apparently, even after Shechita, it's called par. Shiyoitzi is kuloi, says the Gemara. No. The Pasuk is simply telling you, kalah par, whatever is left over of the par. This is not really the true essence of the par, it's just remnants. Whatever is left over, take out. But a true description of par is referring to a live par. Another kasha. Pasuk says, Ves parachatas, ves irachatas. This is the par in Sarnium Kippur, after Shechita, transported outside Yerushalayim to burn. We see par is referring to an animal which was erish nishchat. Amar Papa, b'oir ubas uperish. When referring to the actual goof of the animal, the hide, the flesh, and the waste, the kuli amale pligi, all agree, the proper way of referring to it is par. This is the goof of the animal. It's not machlekes. Ki pligi b'dam. The question only applies to dam itself. So the Kohen Gadol did the Shechita, and all the second Kohen Gadol has left to his name is the dam which he will use for Hazah. He didn't bring the par itself, that was done by the first Kohen. He's going to be handling the dam. And that's the Shaila. When the Torah requires a Kohen to bring a par, is dam enough or not? Mar Savar dam ikri par. Dam itself can be referred to as par, because that's the very essence of the carbon. That's the dam ha-nefesh, which brings kapar and is sufficient. And can be referred to as par as well, in this context. Umar sovra dam l'ikri par. Lashita says no. King God has to actually bring a live animal to achieve his kapar. He can't just be yaitz with dam, remaining from the previous King God's par. Umar avashim is tavru command Umar dam ikri par. You know what? I think the proper approach is the dam is called par. The chsiv bezoisya ba'aron al kodesh bepar ben bakar. Aaron will arrive into the kodesh with a par. After bekarni ma'ele, is he going again bringing the par by its horns? Of course not. El b'damai. Apparently the par is the dam of the par, which he delivers in the kodesh hakadoshim. Vikar de par, and it's referred to as par. So you see that par can be referring to the dam as well. Vi'idach. Now, what does the other shita hold? The other shita says he has to actually have a live par. The pasuk means b'mehuchser aron lo be'la kodesh. Of course, he's not going to bring it to the kodesh kedoshim. The Torah means what will enable aron kohen, what will allow him to enter the kodesh kedoshim, the par b'makal l'chatas, if he brings along a live par to the azara, then proceeds with the shita, and then takes the dam to kodesh kedoshim. Okay, so in summary, we had a shaila, if Reuven did chafinas k'teris and placed the k'teris into the Kohen Gadol's hands, is that okay? Is melei chafna referring to a handful? Or you need more than that? V'lakach v'hevi. He needs to do the masa chafin, which in this case, he didn't. We have the shaila regarding par. Do you need a live animal? Or even damesh par is enough? If the first Kohen Gadol does chafina and then passes away, can the substitute just pick it up right there? Of course, this is assuming par means afilu dam shel par, in which case the second Kohen Gadol can utilize the dam left over by the first Kohen. The question is regarding the chafin of the first Kohen. Does it work for him? Rav Papa says, well, it depends. If chayze v'chayfin, if he does another chafin inside, of course it works. But otherwise, we have a shal. Rav Huna, b'ed Rav Shua, takes it in the other direction. He says, if another chafin is required, then it won't work, because the two hand sizes won't correspond. However, if there will not be another chafina, then we have a shaila. And indeed, the Gemara concludes, Chayfein, v'chayze v'chayfein. In fact, this was one of the most difficult tasks performed in the Beis HaMikdash. Kol tov to you.